We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Verses 11 to 21. Itat nirvintyamananam michitam makutavayam yoginam ripanunitam harinam anukirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is a doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge.
Mukam karoti vacharam bhangam langkayate girim yat kipam tamaham vande shi gurum dinatayanam om jnana timrandasya gyananjana sharakaya Chakshumanitam yena tasamayashi gurave namaha.
So Shukadev has appreciated Parikshit's questions on Lord Krishna. So first, before answering, he invokes the presence of the Lord, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then, before answering, he begins to lament the condition of the present-day human society, blind to atma-tattva, blind to self-realization, wasting their lives at night in sleeping, in sex life, in their days looking for money. So these people, depending on fallible soldiers, asat, although they see that these soldiers will die, still they are depending on these things. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says, you cannot depend on these fallible soldiers. You must depend on Krishna. Shotavya kirtitavyascha Bhagavan Ishara Hari. If you want to become free from fear, then you must chant about, hear about, and remember Lord Krishna. And if you remember Krishna at the time of death, then you will pass the final examination. So this is what we're aiming for. We want to pass the final examination, Krishna consciousness. So Shukadev has answered Parikshit's question as to what one should hear about, chant, remember Lord Krishna. So how to remember Krishna? Shukadev explains. What did he tell us yesterday? How to remember Krishna? Hear and chant what? Specifically? The last verse we talked about? Bhagavatam, yes. That was his prescription. Hearing Bhagavatam. This is how you should chant and hear about Krishna. And today's verse, chant Hare Krishna. So two ways Shukadeva is giving us to remember Krishna, to chant about Krishna, to hear about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name. Two ways. So, the previous verse, verse 10, the goal is given. What is the goal of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as given by Shukadeva Goswami? What will happen if you, Adipurusha? Unflinching faith in Lord Krishna. Yes, this is the first thing we must have. And when we get unflinching faith, then we can understand further the form, the pastimes, and all these things. So the goal is to understand Krishna's pastimes also, but we must hear and chant Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name to achieve this. And to understand Bhagavatam, we have to chant the holy name. We'll see why in the purport. Srila Prabhupada will explain what is the necessity of chanting the holy name. Actually, I'll tell you before we read it, so you can remember it twice. Srila Prabhupada says we must chant Hare Krishna because the holy name reveals the form, qualities, and the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So we will get the revelation, the understanding, through the holy name of what we're hearing in Bhagavatam. The holy name will reveal all this to us because the holy name will also be cleaning our heart at the same time that we are studying Bhagavatam. Of course, Bhagavatam will also clean our heart, but the two together are very wonderful combination. So Prabhupada describes, and the verse also describes, three kinds of persons: the materialist, the transcendentalist, and the devotees. And explains, Prabhupada explains their different desires in the purport. What do the materialists desire? Yes, never-ending sense gratification. And the transcendentalists, these are not the devotees, the other impersonalists. Yes? Mukti, yes. They want to renounce. They are self-satisfied. So they want mukti. And the devotees? Associate with Krishna, what? They want to please Krishna, right. So let's hear Prabhupada, how he describes these different people. This is the paragraph 1, beginning. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists, who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists, who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment, and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord Shri Krishna. In other words, devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. So this is a very interesting statement. What does it mean? Devotees are not self-satisfied. Are they not satisfied? What?
They're not satisfied unless the Lord is satisfied. And they're not just satisfied in and of themselves. They're only satisfied when the Lord is satisfied.
Okay.
Satisfied in trying to satisfy the Lord.
Okay, they're only satisfied in trying to serve the Lord. Okay, they never complete satisfying Krishna, so there's always more to do, so they're never satisfied that way. Leela Madhuri, same. Nishingadev. Yes, they can never please the Lord enough, because he has unlimited desires. How can you please him? Yes?
Well, it also relates back to the verse. You see,
the verse.
Self-satisfied by okay. Transcendental knowledge.
Yes.
So not by knowledge alone.
Right. They're not simply satisfied by having some knowledge. Marangopa? Right. That's true. In that sense, he is satisfied. If you have a tulsi leaf. Yes, so it's not hopeless. We can satisfy Krishna with a little tulsi leaf and some devotion. Yes. He's unlimited in receiving service. Okay. Yes. You may satisfy him with a tulsi leaf, but then you'll think of something else. He wants more tulsi leaves. You'll have to go pick more tulsi leaves. More bhakti. Yes, you have to increase. Yes. Antishesh. Nobody mentioned.
Well, because, you know, he's always trying to glorify the Lord, but he cannot do so. Millions ahead, but otherwise.
Yes, thousands. And he never finishes, actually.
There can never be any satisfaction in the sense that he's not complete.
Yes. Okay. You never... Maji. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Ever increasing ocean of joy. Devotee and the Lord are in competition to satisfy each other. Okay, Nishing Devi?
Yes.
Yes, okay, devotees are always finding. Yes, Prabhu, what is your say that again, Nishingadevi. Can you repeat that? Okay, because they're using every moment to satisfy the Lord, they don't have a moment for themselves to think, oh, okay, now I'm satisfied. That was the point. Marangopa. And then Krishna's Atmarama. Yes, he's bringing back to his point again. Krishna is Atmarama, so how can we satisfy him? Nishingananda. Yes. Devotees are never satisfied looking at the form of the Lord. Yes, it's just apt to satisfy the mind. Yes, Prabhu. Oh, yes, Atma. Yes. Devotee. Okay, very good point. Very good point. Yes. Devotee's never complacent. Good. Okay, it's always dynamic. We're not complacent. Yes, we're not smug. We're not, okay, I'm advanced. I don't have to do anything more. I'm liberated. Not like the impersonalist. Govinda. And Krishna left the rasa dance. Okay. Ever increasing. The devotees got proud, the gopis got proud, Krishna left them just to increase their attachment. Okay, two more and then finish. Lila Madhuri. Yes. Source. Raso vai saha. That's true. Yes, we have experience. Madri. Yes. Although he's Atmarama, still he wants us to also be happy. So therefore, he wants us to serve him. It is for our pleasure, actually, for our happiness, that he wants our service. Okay, last one. Vanamali. And so even Krishna is attracted by his form, so how can these poor Atmaramis fail to be attracted? They must also be attracted. Okay, so let's go on here. What does Prabhupada say? In this verse, I'm continuing in purport. Srila Shukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned, one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus, the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. So this hearing and chanting the holy name will help us to understand the pastimes and what is going on in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. I think the main point also that Prabhupada is making is that devotee is not selfishly satisfied. Because the Atmaramas, they're very happy, you know, I'm okay, I made it, finally. Now I'm happy and I don't need anybody and I don't need anything. And devotees aren't like that. Okay, last one. Satiated. Yeah. Yes, devotees, yayatma supersedati. You are going to be happy. Yes, you can't deny it. All right. We'll have a little discussion. I'm watching the clock. 2 minutes. Yes, Mahan Gopal. What's that? Yeah, it doesn't acknowledge Krishna. Yes. Yeah. So it's a whole another attitude. And we'll hear tomorrow how, you know, you can meditate on the Virat Rupa and it's very helpful, but unless you have this attitude, then you cannot be successful in your meditation. We'll hear more about that tomorrow. Today we're just preparing for our meditation. Certain things we have to do before we meditate on the Virat Rupa. So we'll hear about that today. And then tomorrow we'll do our meditation on Virat Rupa. So, now Prabhupada's lecture on this verse. He took the Sanskrit ichatam. There's ichatam, that who desires. I want this, I want that. Then there's the nirvidyamananam, I don't want. So one is I want, one is I don't want. The accepting and rejecting, or enjoying and renouncing. And then, but Prabhupada said, but both of these are crazy. One who enjoys and one who renounces. He told one story about, suppose you walk into a bank and you say, all the money in this bank is mine. So you're crazy. So that's the one who wants to enjoy. We come to this world, we think everything is for my pleasure. Or somebody walks into the bank and he says, I renounce all this money. He's also crazy, because it's not his to renounce. So both sides are actually not the real thing. So Prabhupada, in his lecture, he actually gave four classes. He said another class is akutobayam, fearless. So who is that? Who is akutobayam? Devotee. Yes, a devotee. So then akutobayam, a devotee, and then yoginam. So for all of them, it is already decided, nirnitam, it is decided, the Vedic conclusion. Prabhupada says you don't have to go search for the conclusion, you can take it right here. Here is the conclusion of the Vedic knowledge in this verse. Simply chant Hare Krishna. And whole Bhagavatam is to convince you to chant the holy name of Krishna. If you're not already chanting, of course. If you're already chanting, then the whole Bhagavatam is to bring you to the level of understanding Krishna. So for all these classes, Hare Nam, Anukirtanam. Now what's so special about Anukirtanam? Following Anu, again Anu. We heard Anukatane, that you should, the Paramahansas, they're always discussing following the authorities. So now he's saying Anukirtanam. Yes, Maharaj. Okay, so here we have a very definitive definition of Anukirtanam, chant following the footsteps of those who have chanted in the past. And the leader of the chanters is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he says, Chanarapi sunichena tarariva sahishuna, and that's how we should chant, 24 hours a day, in a humble state of mind. And then we can become free from doubt and fear, just like Shukadeva also said in verse 5, the same thing. But here, in verses 10 and 11, he's being much more specific about what you should chant and hear and remember, or how you should do it. So let us go to verse 12. What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. So there's no comparison between a moment of Krishna consciousness and thousands of years of forgetfulness. So now, Shukadeva is trying to encourage Pariksha, don't think you're unfortunate because you have only 7 days to live. You have a short life. You think you have a short life? Because in this world, generally people think you long life, this is good fortune. He has only 7 days, so this is very unfortunate. But Shukadeva is saying, no, don't worry. You don't need a long life. You just need a moment of Krishna consciousness. What it says in Bhagavad Gita purport, what does Prabhupada say? You can achieve Krishna consciousness? Yes, Kadvanga, yes? In a moment? Or millions of births? So here he's encouraging him, don't worry, you can achieve it in one moment. And now we will hear the example of someone who achieved it in one moment. The saintly king Kadvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. So this is the example of the fortune of a short life. According to Sridhar Swami, which I heard from Burijan Prabhu, Sridhar Swami says that Kadvanga Maharaj left heaven because he didn't want to become attached or enamored by all the enjoyment there. So he quickly came down to earth. There was one Russian lady last year. She was in Russia. She heard she had cancer, so she came to India. She came to Bombay to the hospital and trying to get cured. And they told her, well, we can try, but actually it looks like you only have 1 month to live. So immediately she came to Vrindavan. And 1 or 2 days later, she left her body. So in Vrindavan, she was just sitting outside, not even in a house or anything, just sitting under the sky, and she left. So she didn't waste time. Yes. No, well, I think, I don't know the story, but all I heard about it last year, that there was some lady sitting outside leaving her body. Because there's always people leaving their bodies here, and we go and have kirtan, everybody goes and reads or has kirtan. And I heard someone gave me the message last year about that, and then she left. So this is an example. She didn't waste a moment. She didn't think, okay, I've got a month, let me try and cure myself. Maybe, you know, I can get well and go back. Yeah. You know who it was? Acha, Tiraspav. Tiraspav. Yeah, I know, it was the mother of a devotee. It was the mother of... At the end. Yes. So, there you have it. Only 1 month left to live. She didn't even have a month, actually. Yeah, actually, yeah. And not only, yeah, from Bombay, the nurse came, one of our devotees, about my god sister, and also the head of the hospital came with her. Sri Krishna Chaitanya and also Narataki came, both of them, to take care of her, but she left in two, you know, right after she came. So it's very, very fortunate. We think fortunate. But others don't think that way. So verse 14, Maharaj Parikshit, now your duration of life. Oh, 13? No, it's 14. You missed a verse. Maharaj Parikshit, now your duration of life is limited to 7 more days. So during this time, you can perform all those rituals which are needed for the best purpose of your next life. So what are the rituals that Maharaj Parikshit has to perform? What's he talking about here? What are all these rituals? The answer is actually in the purport. Prabhupada says, what are the rituals you have to do before you die? Here, Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the rituals. Prabhupada says in the purport, near the end, in other words, this is the second to the last sentence, everyone can best prepare himself for the next life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, as it was recited by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. The rituals are not formal, but there are also some favorable conditions which are required to be carried out as instructed hereafter. So now we're going to hear the favorable conditions. And Shukadeva is going to be giving us different processes, meditation on universal form, super soul. And we can take knowledge from these different processes also and use them in Krishna consciousness. And also he wants to bring these people also to Krishna consciousness. So two purposes for describing these different paths. So now 15, he'll begin to describe another path. At the last stage of one's life, one should be bold enough not to be afraid of death, but one must cut off all attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it and all desires thereof. According to Prabhupada's purport, we need to change one thing in our lives, in ourselves, while we're in this present body, so we may go back to Godhead. What is that one thing, one word? Yes? Yes, the nature of our desires. This we must change. Prabhupada says, now this is the middle of the purport. It's a huge purport, but how many lines? Oh, how many? About the middle. See if you can find it. Death. It's, the sentence starts with death. Death. You got it? Exactly. It's not the middle? All right. Anyway, look for it. It is. Okay? For once. Death is nothing but sleeping for a few months in order to develop another term of bodily engagement, which we are awarded by the law of nature according to our aspiration. Therefore, one has to only change the aspiration during the course of this present body, and for this there is a need of training and the current duration of human life. So this is the whole purpose of Krishna's incarnation, to change the desires. It's the whole purpose of sadhana bhakti according to Bhagavad Gita. Do you, anybody know that verse that tells that the purpose of sadhana, well, the result of sadhana bhakti is to change your desire? That's a hard one. It's in chapter 12. So if you cannot always think of Krishna, then you perform bhakti yoga, regulative principles, and that way you develop a desire to attain to me. So this is the purpose, Prabhupada says. It is stated herein, one should give up all desires of family attachment. One must have a chance for better desires. Otherwise, there is no chance of giving up such morbid desires. Morbid. Desire is a concomitant factor of the living entity. The living entity is eternal, and therefore his desires, which are natural for a living being, are also eternal. One cannot therefore stop desiring, like the impersonalists, to try, but the subject matter for desires can be changed. So one must develop desires for returning home, back to Godhead, and automatically desires for material gain, material honor, material popularity, that's labha, puja, and pratishta, will diminish in proportion to development of devotional service. A living being is meant for service activities, and his desires are centered around such a service attitude. Beginning from the top executive head of the state down to the insignificant pauper in the street, all are rendering some sort of service to others. Perfection of such a service attitude is only attained simply by transferring the desire of service from matter to spirit, or from Satan to God. Easy. That's all we have to do. And we're back to Godhead. Yes. Yes? Monthly meditation. Okay. Very nice. You cannot stop desiring. And if you try, then you won't be successful. So this is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. Let's read verse 16. One should leave home and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place, duly sanctified. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, right? Sounds very familiar. So we have to become detached, and if we don't do it voluntarily, then at the time of death, we'll be forced to become detached. If we don't do it before death, then maybe a little bit before death will be forced, because Krishna will take everything away. He takes away your body. He takes away, just like my friend. She, you know, you think, okay, you know, when I'm really sick and before I'm going to die, I'm just going to chant and read. And so my friend in MET, she can only chant 4 rounds and then pain in the heart. Can't chant anymore. Can only read a little bit and the eyes go bad. So we may think like that, but actually, it's not so easy. It's not easy to do it if you're actually in that position. So it's very, very difficult. We have to practice now. So this is very important, that we practice while we're healthy, while we're able to do these things, that we practice as much as possible. And then at the time of death, then we'll have something behind us that we can remember. So Vrijan Prabhu also was commenting, an intelligent person breaks the attachment before he dies and attaches himself to Krishna. So this is a specific instruction. This is to leave home, to go to a sacred place. But this is not the ultimate instruction, of course, to develop love for Krishna. But this is the step-by-step path which is being described by Shukadev. Because a materialist, he has to understand this world is not for his pleasure. He has to give up his attachment. So now we'll hear about verse... Oh, is it this verse? Yes, it's this verse. There's a very nice Sanskrit word here. Very significant word. And the word is dhira. And you hear this word a lot in our Krishna consciousness. Dhira. So, in the first canto, there is somebody who is instructed in the path of dhira. Who is that? Dhritarashtra. Yes. Dhira. He became dhira, actually. He was successful in becoming a dhira. Who is a dhira? Who is dhira? Not disturbed, leaving home. Everybody agrees? Yes? Sober. Yes. Yes. Okay, an expanded definition. Sufficient cases for provocation, he's not disturbed. And in the first canto, 13th chapter, Prabhupada, there is a verse. It says, he is called undisturbed, who goes to an unknown remote place. And freed from all obligations, quits his material body when it has become useless. So same thing that's being instructed here. In Gita, Matya Sparshas. Yeah, that's Matya Sparshas Kunteya. Yeah. The end is, we have all these problems, but actually, you have to tolerate. Dhiras tachanamuyati. A sober person is not bewildered. But Prabhupada says that this path, he explains that this path of renunciation is based on a frustrated life. So example is Dhritarashtra. He was frustrated. But stabilization of such renunciation is possible only by association with bona fide saints and self-realized souls, by which one can be engaged in loving service of the Lord. So one may take up this dhira path, but if you want to stay on the path, then you have to have association of devotees. You may take up the path, but if you want to be stabilized, Prabhupada says, you have to take up. And what were the other types of renounced persons described in the first Madan Gopal? Narottama, yes, that's the highest. And? Sannyas. Sannyas after frustration. Yes, okay, so we have three types. Now we're hearing about the dhira. This is Shukadev's instruction. And Prabhupada also gave another point. The dhira stage is attained after prolonged practice of the yoga system. Many, many years or lifetimes of practice in yoga, you can come to the stage of dhira. It's very, very difficult by practice of yoga. So what relevance does this have for us? Do we need to become dhira? Is it necessary for us? Why? Madan Gopal? I mean, this is, you know, this path. Yes, in all spiritual paths, the first duty is to control mind and senses. Yes. Yes. First step, Abhinanda. Yes, you're all supposed to leave home one day, Madhavendra Puri. Seven and eight. Very good. Okay. Dhira is equated to Guru in Ishopanishad. Dhiranam. Okay, so there you have it. Dhira is very special. Sankirtandas. Yes. Dhiras tata namuyati. He's not disturbed by change of body. Dhiras tata namuyati. Oh, actually, yeah, that you're right. It's your verse. Yeah, it's verse 13. It's not verse 14. Yeah, yes. Yovanam jara tata dehantara pratyu dhiras tacha. Yes, you're right. Verse 13. Yes. I was just thinking of tolerating, because that's what the dhira does. Tams titiksha sabharata. Yes. It's the next verse. Yes. Yes, okay. Devotee has to become a devotee and all the good qualities develop. But in Nectar of Instruction, there's some things that will help also. And one of them is patience. It's a very difficult thing for devotees. At least for me, for this devotee. Patience. Yes. Okay, we'll have that discussion after class. After the lecture. We'll discuss what's patience. Verse 17. After sitting in the above manner, make the mind remember the three transcendental letters, A-U-M, and by regulating the breathing process, control the mind so as not to forget the transcendental seat. So now after going to the sacred place, we're chanting Om. Om is very beneficial. It's the seat of transcendental sound. And why we want to change Om, Prabhupada says, Omkara is the seed of sound, transcendental sound, and it is only transcendental sound which can bring about desired change of the mind and senses. So not only do we want to control the mind and senses, we want to change them. So we're talking about changing desire. We heard about desire and how it has to be changed. So here is one process to change our desires. Prabhupada says, even a mentally deranged man can be cured by treatment of transcendental sound. In the Bhagavad Gita, the pranava omkara has been accepted as the direct, literal representation of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Which chapter is that? Supreme Absolute Truth. Yeah, Gita. Eighth? Yeah, eighth is talking about the yogi. There's another one where it says Supreme Absolute Truth. Prabhupada's referring to. Yes. Another one. Seventh? That's what he said. I'm thinking of another one where actually the words Supreme Absolute Truth. Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat. 17. Supreme Absolute Truth. Om Tat Sat. You haven't gotten to that yet. You'll find out. And so this is Om Tat Sat, Om Kara. So this is especially for the impersonalists. Prabhupada says, persons who are unable to realize the transcendental personal form or name of the Lord on account of their imperfect senses, in other words, the neophytes, are trained to the practice of self-realization by this mechanical process of regulating the breathing function and simultaneously repeating the pranava omkara within the mind. So you leave home, you sit in a sacred place, you start chanting Om. And the reason why you have to leave home is because if you stay home, you arrange everything around you so you can nourish your material desires. So it's very difficult to get rid of your material desires if you stay at home. And there's everybody waiting to serve you, and you have your wife, your servants. So these desires are what keep us in this world. So therefore, unless you get out of this environment, just like Dhritarashtra, he had everything very nicely arranged to satisfy his desires, but he had to get out. So therefore, sannyasi should travel. One sannyasi was lecturing, and he said a sannyasi should travel because there's not enough time to organize his attachments so that he can make a nice place to stay. That's why sannyasis travel. Verse 18. Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized, withdraw it from sense activities, and by intelligence the senses will be controlled. The mind too absorbed in material activities can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. Prabhupada explains the flaw in the yogic process that even at samadhi one may fall down. This is a problem. And there are examples. So therefore, Prabhupada, Sukadeva Goswami in this verse says, therefore, it's better you be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead. So he will now explain to the impersonalists how to meditate on Lord Vishnu. In the purport, near the end, I think, Prabhupada says, therefore, or maybe it's the middle, Shukadeva Goswami recommends the next step of assured policy, namely to fix one's mind in the service of the personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme. Supreme Personality of God, oh sorry, Lord Shri Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, also recommends this direct process in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, which is Yoginam Api Sarvesham. So this is, when you reach samadhi, then what to meditate on? Meditate on Krishna. Now our process is direct. The yogis, they go through all the step-by-step things. They have to do so many things. Our process is direct. I have a little quote here from Prabhupada about how to use your intelligence to control yourself. Some devotee wrote to Prabhupada and said, oh, I'm having so much problem with my mind. I'm getting these bad thoughts. And so Prabhupada said, yes, our thoughts are always changing. That's the nature of the mind. So you can't expect that even the great saintly persons are free from thoughts coming and going. But after thinking, there is feeling and willing. Willing being the stage of putting the thoughts into action. So if we are able to employ our intelligence, we can kill the thoughts before they become manifest in activity. But because we're so inclined to enjoy something intelligently, we have to therefore... Now here's the solution. This is what we're supposed to do, Prabhupada says. Therefore, we have to daily sharpen our intelligence faculty by reading, discussing, and preaching to others. In this way, we're able to very easily defeat all challengers to our philosophy, and everything becomes very clear as it is revealed from different angles of vision. Yeah, this is... Actually, it's a letter by Srila Prabhupada, and I don't have that reference, but I got it from Brahmachari Reader by Bhaktivikas Swami. It's page 98. So you can look it up there, but probably can look it up in the... I'll give you a few words. Angles of vision. Actually, I looked up the word sharpen, and I got it. I caught it. Sharpen. Yeah. Okay, daily sharpen our intelligence. Look up sharpen. I think you'll get it there. It's a letter by Srila Prabhupada to somebody. Daily sharpen our intelligence faculty by reading, discussing, and preaching to others. In this way, we are able very easily to defeat all challengers to our philosophy, and everything becomes very clear as it is revealed from different angles of vision. So this is Prabhupada's solution for us to engage our intelligence. Jai. So that's how we should use our intelligence. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I don't know if Krishna says, but somebody in the end says, who is speaking, I don't remember. Sanjaya, if we study Bhagavad Gita, then we worship Krishna by our intelligence. Who says that? Krishna says that? Okay. I couldn't remember. Anyway, Lord Krishna says that. So we should take that. That's what we're doing. We're taking that to heart. We're daily discussing and reading and preaching. Bhagavatam. Verse 19. Thereafter, you should meditate upon the limbs of Vishnu one after another without being deviated from the conception of the complete body. Thus the mind becomes free from all sense objects. There should be no other thing to be thought upon. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is the ultimate truth, the mind becomes completely reconciled in Him only. So this we discussed a little bit already, how when we see the form of the Lord, it's just apt to satisfy the mind, as Narada Muni saw it. So we're satiated when we see the form of the Lord. So therefore, he's recommending this worship for the impersonalists. Now, a point that Prabhupada makes near the end of the purport is that deity worship is the same and even better than meditating on the Vishnu form in the heart. So we are very fortunate indeed because we have deity worship. And we can simply go to the temple and do the same thing that the yogi and this great dhira path, just go and meditate on the different limbs of the deity. And we're getting the same benefit, even more benefit. Because they may fall down, it may be difficult for them to keep that meditation in their minds. So at the end, Prabhupada says it's better. The Vishnu form is the... Here it is indicated that the Vishnu form... This is the last sentence, I think. is the ultimate goal of meditation, and as such, it is better to concentrate upon the form of Vishnu than on impersonal Omkara. The latter process is also more difficult than the former. Okay, so we will read verse 20. One's mind is always agitated by the passionate mode of material nature, bewildered by the ignorant mode of nature, but one can rectify such conceptions by the relation of Vishnu, and thus become pacified by cleansing the dirty things created by them. So remember in the first canto, same thing, where we want to clean the dirty things from our heart. What does Sutta Goswami say? What is his recommendation? How does he describe? Yes. Yes. In Bhagavatam class. All the dirty things. And the other verse, there's another verse. Shrimatam Swakata Krishna. Yes, these two verses. So this is our process. We're hearing about another process now, about how to cleanse the dirty things in the heart. So they must meditate on Vishnu. But we're going to have a certain form of Vishnu, actually. And it's not exactly in the heart. Shukadeva is going to describe the form of Vishnu as the Virat Rupa. That form of Vishnu we're going to hear about in this chapter. Very, very interesting. How to meditate on this whole universe as the form of Vishnu. So Prabhupada, in this purport, paragraph 1, beginning, he says, people who are persons generally conducted by the modes of passion ignorance cannot be bona fide candidates for being situated in the transcendental stage of God realization. Only persons conducted by the mode of goodness can have knowledge. And at the end, Prabhupada says, at the end of paragraph 1, to acquire such a qualification of God realization in the personal feature, the neophyte impersonalist is given a chance to realize the relation of the Lord in everything by the philosophy of pantheism. So this chapter, we're going to hear all about Krishna conscious pantheism. So let's have a definition of pantheism again. Vrindavan, you gave us a definition of pantheism in one class, I remember. You remember that? Everything is God, and God is everything. So that's what they believe. This is what the materialistic definition, the common definition is that everything is God, and God is everything. So now, what does Prabhupada say about this? This is paragraph 2. Pantheism, in its higher status, does not permit the student to form an impersonal conception of the absolute truth, but it extends the conception of the absolute truth into the field of the so-called material energy. So we're going to hear about pantheism in its higher status tomorrow. It's not that nature is God, the tree is God, the ocean is God, but God is in the tree, and God is in, he is outside of it also, controlling it. Yes. Everything is his energy. Yes, but he is somewhere else. This is the point. They say, yes, so the tree is God. The dog is God, especially. The dog is God. And so, actually, the truth is that all these things, the tree, the ocean, the sun, they are part of the body of God. They are part of his body. They are his energy. And we'll hear also, well, I'll talk about this. We'll read more about the purport. Prabhupada says, everything created by the material energy can be dovetailed with the absolute by an attitude of service, which is the essential part of living energy. Pure devotee of the Lord knows the art of converting everything into its spiritual existence by this service attitude. And only in that devotional way can the theory of pantheism be perfected. So right away, Prabhupada is saying, no, you have to have the service attitude when you see the universal form. So because, you see, if everything is part of Krishna's body, that means everything should be used for his service, not for my service. And there's a purpose, well, we'll learn this also tomorrow, that there's a purpose for each and every thing in this creation. There's a purpose, everything in this that we see in this world has a purpose in Krishna's service. Everything in nature, the tree, everything, there's a purpose There's a way that you can use it to serve Krishna. It's created for a certain purpose in the service of Krishna. And that's what we have to... And the devotee, the pure devotee knows what is the purpose. He can see, he can look outside and he sees the purpose. So, Prabhupada, of course, a materialistic person, he'll see everything, it's for my purpose. This is for my purpose, for my service. But Prabhupada, just like Prabhupada, he was walking in Juhu Beach and he saw this vacant land and he thought, oh, land, this would be a nice place for a temple. Bhumi. What about, actually we hear, actually in different places, analogies and things. I'll just ask you a few to keep you alive here. That, how does the devotee see water in relation to Krishna? Rasoham, apsakonteya. Anything else? Any analogies? Anything that we can connect? Sun and the moon are his eyes. Light of the sun and the moon, yes. Lord Chaitanya. Okay, the whole ocean has become a holy place because he put Haridas Thakur's body in the ocean. Yes, Mangopa. Water is a purifying agent. Yes. And that is Krishna. Maharaj, you have a... Acha, okay. Very good. Ganges? Yes, Ganges? Yes, aptitude in the person is Krishna. Ability in man, that's Krishna. Darshan? Yes. Okay, Darshan is bringing in the devotional attitude. No? Yes, Abhinandan? Ocean is perspiration of the Lord. Okay, we have different opinions here. Yes? Water, we offer water. Toyam? Yes? Abhishek, we use water. Okay, anyway, that's the idea. This is how to be Krishna conscious. Somehow or other, whatever you see, it reminds you of Krishna. And that's what this chapter is all about. That it's going to help us see everything in relation to Krishna. So this is the form of Vishnu, actually, that Shukadeva is going to be describing in this chapter. This is the Vishnu from the lotus feet to the head, universal form. So verse 21, O King, by this system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all-good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under his direct shelter. So now he's giving the goal of this meditation. The goal of Virat Rupa meditation is that he gets in the habit of seeing the personal form. We want to get these impersonalists in the habit of meditating on a personal form, and then very soon they will also develop devotional service. So he's revealing the goal of this meditation before we start the meditation. We'll hear all about this meditation later. Prabhupada says in the purport, success of mystic performance is achieved only by the help of the devotional attitude. Pantheism, or the system of feeling the presence of the Almighty everywhere, is a sort of training of the mind to become accustomed to the devotional conception. And it is this devotional attitude of the mystic that makes possible the successful termination of such mystic attempts. One is not, however, elevated to such a successful status without the tinge of mixture, devotional service. Devotional atmosphere created by the pantheistic vision develops into devotional service in later days. And that is the only benefit for the impersonalist. So it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 12.5, the impersonal way of self-realization is more troublesome because it reaches the goal in an indirect way. Although the impersonalist also becomes obsessed with the personal feature of the Lord after a long time. So when I heard one devotee describing in class when he first joined the temple, a nice system of how to see Krishna and everything. He was working in the kitchen. And they had all these different spices, sugar, flour, everything in the kitchen. This was actually in London Temple. So one devotee was describing in class, and he was saying he walked into the kitchen and then he was looking for the spices, and it said, Krishna's salt, Krishna's sugar, not salt, sugar, and all these things, but Krishna's jira, Krishna's hing, all these things. It was Krishna's. So they really had the devotional attitude there. They could really see Krishna in everything. So that was a very nice way to remember Krishna. So we can also practice like that too in our house. Krishna's notebook, Krishna's tape recorder. We label our things. Maharaj. Yes.
His wife was trained by her mother in such a way that this tap, Krishna's tap. Krishna's tap, and then you have a tap that he's separate from what you use.
Okay, Krishna had his tap, and we had our own tap. Yes. Janivas? He offers everything. Well, devotees do that. They used to do that in the West a lot. I heard some funny stories that they used to go into a supermarket and offer the whole supermarket, so that whatever they took was prasad. But not everything there is offerable. That's the problem. I know this is a problem. How they're offering? Probably they made a clause in their offering. Don't eat those things in the back. Yeah, well, you shouldn't offer things that he doesn't want. That's not very nice. Yeah. Actually, my son was... I'll tell you one story. When I was very sick, he had to do the offering. And he also was cooking. He made a mistake. He put... Because I offered already some milk, and he made it into paneer and mixed it with his food. But he really, really wanted Krishna to eat it. So he went to Krishna, to the deities, our deities. He said, Krishna, I made a big mistake. You know, I put something that was offered into the food, but could you still eat it anyway? So he was very sincere in his thing. So sometimes, I don't know if Krishna took it or not, but anyway, these things happen. Yes. So anyway, we'll end here. Any questions or comments? Yes.
But it's not really related at all.
Yeah, well, the form of Vishnu that he's going to describe is the expansion of Vishnu as Virat Rupa. This is what he's referring to. In the next chapter, it will be the Vishnu in the heart, actually, the Lord in the heart.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
But it was when you related pantheism.
Yeah.
Direct relationship to that translation.
Yeah, well, this is... So Prabhupada is explaining it in the purport, that this is relating to the Virat Rupa, although we haven't heard about it yet, but that's what he's bringing up to. Otherwise, it would be very confusing. But that's what he's going to describe, is the Virat Rupa of Vishnu. And it's Vishnu. It's the form of Vishnu. But it's the external form. This chapter, we'll hear about the external form of Vishnu, and next chapter, we'll hear about the internal form of Vishnu. Sankirtan Das. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Yes.
So how about the other devotees who are in our region who may not be great devotees?
I don't see where this is. You mean verse 11? I was looking. Verse 11, okay.
Prama Prana.
Okay. So the question is, what is the question again? To have preached. Yeah, or even like Christ and Buddha, or not Buddha, Christ. Yeah, of course. Why not? Now, sometimes Prabhupada, he includes the acharyas, he includes even Christ, that we should not blaspheme their scriptures also, and Christ also. Yeah. But he has preached it. I mean, I'm just thinking, not specifically here, but just Prabhupada's preaching mood or his spirit. that he would preach like that, that we should not vilify even Christ or even Muhammad or any of these people, that they would even could even be included in this offense. What to speak of other devotees? Anybody else like to comment? Nishin Nanda. Careful, because it will come back on us also. It will come back on us. Vanamali and then Marvin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should not offend the monks, those who are serious. Regular Christian Muslim. Yeah. That's a nice appreciation, to focus on the contribution of the pioneers of Krishna consciousness, no matter what condition we find them in now. Yes, Darshan. Yeah, so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was crying when one of his devotees left, and he blamed himself that I could not save him. So yeah, that's a very good point, that we should not criticize, because otherwise we'll be the next. Whatever we criticize somebody for, as Burijan was showing in his class, if you identify the perpetrator, you become like the perpetrator. Yes. Madhavan Puri. Yes. So the mercy of the Lord is always open for the devotee, even if you're attached. Okay. We should respect the devotees.
It's not how we start,
that comes, how we finish. Yes, it's how we finish. Yes. Surprisingly.
And they had some difficulty in the middle, let's say.
Yeah.
But they finished in a grand way.
Yes. Yeah, many examples. So many examples. Upendra, so many. Yes. Yeah, it's a very important point. Thank you for bringing that up. Any other questions, Madhuri? Give the benediction to those who preach. Yes. Yes. We have to learn to appreciate everyone, all devotees. And that way, perhaps, we can encourage them to, again, do some service. Yashoda? Jiva Dharma. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they follow, then we don't. We appreciate also. We don't criticize someone, you're only in first grade. How come you're not in university? Okay, verse 264, explanation. Any other questions? Yes. This is the purport to verse 15, and it's about the middle of the purport. And Prabhupada says, death is nothing but sleeping for a few months in order to develop another term of bodily engagement. 6 months, yeah. Well, actually, in the third canto, we'll hear about what happens with the materialistic person, that he goes to Yamraj, and it's only a few seconds it takes to go on the path, but it feels like eternity. And then he suffers before he gets his next body. So before you get your next body, if you're going to go to hell, then that has to happen first, and you get trained up. Yeah. Yeah, so time is relative. Like for you, it may just be a few seconds in hell, but if you're there, it may be like the ant. For the ant, you know, the time is time duration of life of life is different compared to us. But so there also, it may seem like eternity that you're there, but for us in our time frame, it may be different. So it is described in third canto that you must. If you are going to take at least a lower birth, you must go and suffer in hellish planets first. Or you must go to the higher planets for thousands of years. So how is it possible? If you're going to go up or if you're going to go down, then it's what is it? The few months is also there, but there's something in between. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Yes. You have to be trained to become a dog or a hog or whatever your next body is. So you have to learn to eat meat and eat all these. To be a crow, you eat a lot of disgusting things.
That's
it's in between, yes. The training. You get the training, And then you sleep for, then it's like sleeping for a few months. So Prabhupada is summarizing. He's not giving all the details, but he's just giving us a brief summary of death. Of course, when we go to the third canto, we'll find much more detail about the process. Here he's just like giving us a very, very short description. And it will be filled in later on. It's not so easy just to die for a few, just to sleep for a few months. Yeah. Well, it's before the few months, actually.
Trying.
Few months is in the womb, is what he's talking about. You sleep for a few months in the womb. You're for six or seven months, you're unconscious in the womb.
So this death is nothing but sleeping for a few months.
That means when you're in the womb. Yeah. This is what he's referring to here, sleeping for a few months. So you're not conscious until the sixth or seventh month, according to which way you figure, Vedic or Western. And before that, of course, so many things happen in between the time of death and the time you go into another womb. Then you get the training.
So, and that training, if one is lazy, under the maids, ignorant,
yeah.
What if he doesn't want to do that training?
You don't have any choice. The training is suffering. It's punishment. It's not, you go to Yamaraj and he tells you, you're going there. You can't say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going. You don't have any control and you have no choice. He's got all the Yamadutas are there and they're taking you and you have no choice. Now, the great devotees, they may have choice. The great kings like Nriga, they gave him the choice. You want to go first to heaven or to hell? And so he said, okay, I'll go to hell first. So he became a lizard. So some people get the choice, but they're not usually... Not ordinary people. Not ordinary people. Yeah. Very good idea. Yes. One lady, she tricked Yamaraj. Satyavan's wife, Savitri. Yeah, she just preached him and he was so happy to hear preaching, you know, some nice katha, that he gave her back her husband, who was dead. He was taking away her husband and she followed him, and just by talking to him, then she convinced him. She tricked him to give back her husband. And so, yes, we can have kirtan if we see Yamaraj, and we can also make him happy, please him. He's a great devotee. He's a Mahajan. You can sing your Bhagavatam verses. Yes. 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 You invite him for bhajan, for kirtan, next time you have kirtan. Prasadam. By him for prasadam. Learn the verse on Mahajans. I think it will come up. Where is that? In the third canto? I can't remember now. Sixth canto. That's right. It's Yamara. Yes. Who is it? Yashoda. Oh. It's better than getting punished. Different kind of punishment. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's have that discussion. What is patience? Of course, there's one very famous book which is describing this thing, this point. What is patience? Another word is actually dharyam or dhira. It's connected to dhira. So this book is we are studying in Bhakti Shastri, or we have studied in Bhakti Shastri. So which book describes this? Yes. The act of instruction, yes. What's the first verse? Vacho Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vegam. Yes. Yes. And that's the third verse, right? Utsaha Nishchayat Dhariyat. So Dhariyat, patience, means to be a Dhira. Dhariyat. And Dhira means to control the six urges. And then here's another reference that the Dhira is Guru. Anyone who can control these six urges, he can make disciples all over the world. As you said in Isho, it's the same in Nectar of Instruction. The Dhira, he can make disciples. And who is a Dhira? Who controls? And patience is one of the six qualities that will help our devotional service. Utsaha Nishchayat Dhariyat. Patience. Yes. Okay, equated with, yes, with goodness, definitely. Because mode of passion is the opposite of patience. Impatience. You're in a hurry. You're in passionate. You're in a rush. You're not. Good. Okay, great. Yes. No, we're patient. No, okay, go ahead. You can. Here it is mentioned. I see, yeah. Here it is mentioned, one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities.
And then it says, this means the hearing
of the holy name.
Well,
you can always try. There's no harm in trying, but usually... Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one. Okay. Yeah, it may be. It's kind of indirect. You may be reading something in there that's not... I think Prabhupada's very simple. Yeah. Okay, let's try and help Madhavendra Puri here.
The Lord is the proprietor.
Where is this?
211.
2-1. Where in the purport?
Right after describing the first offense.
Okay, after the first offense.
It's not the first offense.
Okay, we're in the second paragraph. That's a good question. Anybody understand that? What Prabhupada's trying to say here? The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, therefore he may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Completeness. Oh, I understood. Yeah. What do you say? Well, whatever. What do you understand that statement? No, but what I understand here... Actually, I think I picked up what Prabhupada's trying to say. The fullness of the Lord so means that he's a person. He's complete as a person. So sometimes people, they say, well, if you have a name, if God has a name, then that means how can he be God? You can't put a name on God. So Krishna has a name, but that doesn't mean he's not God. I mean, that's the understanding I got here when I read that. Doesn't qualify. His
It means the Lord is qualified by other things than those.
Yeah, well, the impersonalists especially, they say that God cannot have a name, he cannot have a form. And if you impose this idea of a name or a form or qualities, then that cannot be God. You cannot limit him. He's unlimited. So how can you put a name? He's unlimited. He's everywhere. He's all-pervading. So, but if you put a name or if you put a form on him, that's qualifying him. That's limiting him. It's putting a limit.
In addition to the same point, the fact that he's got many names, just because it's broken into many, he's known differently in the same way that it doesn't qualify his fullness.
Yeah. And just because he has so many names, it doesn't qualify his fullness. Darshan. Yes, yes. Yes, they have to follow their principles. That the Buddhists should be practicing. That was Prabhupada's preaching platform when he would meet a Christian. Are you following? Why are you eating meat? Or if he met a Buddhist, why are you eating meat? You're supposed to follow ahimsa. Why aren't you following Buddha? That was his first question for other religions. Yeah.
The absolute status, isn't
it? Right. Just because that's the first verse, the invocation of Ishapanishad, yeah. Although so many complete units emanate from him, he remains a complete balance. He remains a person. Just as an ordinary person can create so many things, sons, children, but still he hasn't lost his personality. Well, if you think back, it's there, but it's not there very much. It's there in the beginning of the third chapter. The three Vishnus. Purusha avatars, it's there. And the end of the second chapter. It's not much, actually, but for some reason he picked up on that. Yeah. Yes. Well, that's a good point. His point is that the principle, the purpose of creation, or the principle of creation, is to redeem the fallen souls. Nice point. So therefore we can see that in the first canto. Redeem the fallen souls. Yes. Yeah, we see all this varnashram. What's the purpose? And this is part of the creation, principles of creation, to elevate, to protect the conditioned soul, to redeem him from this material world. Good point, yeah. One more comment. Jaladutta Diary. Oh, really? Different names. Oh, that's very interesting. Symptoms of objectivity for second canto. First canto was the absolute truth. That sounds very good, because that's all we hear about in the first canto. And then symptoms of objectivity. That's a very difficult one to understand. Symptoms of objectivity. How about the other cantos? Oh, we'll have to look that up. Is it in your computer? Look it up. We'll find out some other names for the cantos. Okay, anything, any other questions or discussion? Okay, so we'll stop. Shall we wait for him to look up the... Anybody interested in hearing? Yeah. Okay, the question is, how can hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names be recommended for those who have material desires and those who want liberation? Is that the question? How is it beneficial for them? Nishinanda? Why is it recommended for people who have material desires to chant the holy name and to read Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes? They'll be purified of those desires. They'll get knowledge. Their obstacle will be removed. I had another, yes. Okay. So this is very nice. In the first canto, we heard Narada recommending to Vyasadeva that you simply do devotional service. This will be the best thing for the people. You describe the pastimes of the Lord. Just hearing Bhagavatam, this is the best thing, and chanting Hare Krishna for the people of Kali Yuga. Yeah. Okay. Right, if they chant Krishna's name and hear Bhagavatam about Krishna, then they accept Krishna is the supreme. How to make them appreciate that this is good for them? Nishingananda. Yuva. Yeah. Oh, yes. 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 We can tell them the story of Yuva. That he wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather, and he got it. And he got it. So you'll get it, but not if you're sincere, though, you won't get it. Yeah. Give them books. Yeah, for the general mass prasadam. And sankirtan. Oh, yeah. Yes, we give them sankirtan. We are giving you to the people. Yes. Yes. They'll get a higher taste. My point also is that if you're going to hear Bhagavatam and chant the holy name, then you have to associate with devotees. So that will itself, they'll have to associate, they'll have to hear the holy name from the devotees, they'll have to hear Bhagavatam from the devotees. So that will also purify them. That will help. They're doing Bhagavata Seva. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Yeah. So that will purify the heart also. Abhinanda. Pashukana. Soul killer. Okay, so three types of people will be attracted by Krishna book, Prabhupada says in the introduction. That's those who are liberated, those who are on the path of liberation, and the materialists, but not the Pashukana, the killer of the soul, or animals. Yes, anything more on that, Madan Gopal? No, Darshan? Okay. just quote the verse, Amala Purana. I mean, how the Bhagavad has risen. Yes, Malavindapuri?
Another question.
Question? Last one. You have two?
220.
220. Yeah. Because first you have to understand what is this impersonal feature? Potential. This is the potential. Potential means energy, potency. So his impersonal feature in the form of the material energy, which is what we're, the Virat Rupa. So they will see, they will look at everything in the world, they will look at the Virat Rupa. If they meditate on this Virat Rupa, it's an impersonal feature, it's called sometimes impersonal, although there is form. But actually, you're looking at the world, and you're seeing everything. You're seeing women, you're seeing wealth, and you're seeing how it's related to the body of the Lord. You're seeing that this is this part of the Lord's body. This is this part of the Lord's. Therefore, it belongs to the Lord. So then they get... Avyaktamurtina, yes. Yeah. This is what we're going... No. It's not good for us to have that. No, but in one sense, there's also relevance. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Now, what is the relevance for us? That what can we get from this meditation? You know, how is it beneficial for devotees? Or in what sense can we also do this? We may not do it in the same way that they do. But actually, I gave you an example today. One example: Krishna's sugar, Krishna's salt, Krishna's like this way. Can see either. Krishna's money. Like that. Krishna's wealth, Krishna's women, yes. Just keep going. Yeah. Whatever you have, it's Krishna's. So what's for me?
Oh.
Yes. 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 Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I am the caretaker of your house. Yeah. What's it? Yes, what's for you? Yeah.
Service.
Krishna's service, that's for you. Even your soul, that's Krishna's. Even your body, even your mind, even your soul. Even the soul. That's a very high stage, mamata. I belong to Krishna, and Krishna belongs to me. And when your only possession is the lotus feet of Krishna, then you'll understand the essence of devotional service. And you understand everything. Yes. Yeah, in Vrindavan. Yes. They have those t-shirts. You can buy one and tell everyone. Remind everyone. So they don't get the wrong idea. They want to exploit you for their service. I belong to Krishna. Oh, prasadam. Okay. Time for prasad. What is this from? Ranganath prasad. Oh. Thank you. Ranganath prasad. Creation of the material world. Sub-creation. Sub what? Creators. Oh, right in the middle. Okay, so maybe you can research that for us tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can you bring that?
Put it in the
Okay. All glories to Shiva.